All right. Well, after an incredibly long hiatus, welcome back to the Holy Mountain Podcast. Before we jump into this interview with our good friend Dylan Walker from Full of Hell, one of my absolute favorite fucking people in the entire universe, a quick note. Our show is now being done with our good friend Scott Krause, who you would know from Earth Crisis, Tooth and Claw, Sect, and Path of Resistance. He is now our audio engineer and our co-host. And I think that Scott's perspective, having been a musician who has been on a number of record labels, toured the world 1,000 times over, played every fucking where and done everything, is going to bring a level of insight to these interviews that I think is going to be really fucking cool.
Pardon the expression?
Radio General Erko.
Yes, sir, but that's not what's so peculiar.
Put it on the bridge speakers, Lieutenant.
Pay more attention.
DJ 7 L.
I thought it might be static, but not on every channel.
Pay more attention.
We don't take orders from super fools. We give them.
The science ninja team is here.
I swear they landed right there on the other side of the hill.
What's that?
I demand an explanation!
Look at that one! Bigger than the rest! He looks like...
Invasion by creatures from space confirmed. New York City may be their next objective.
All right, well, shit, like, I don't know. I told Scott the reason I wanted to start with you was... I mean, I've told you every single time we've done this, you guys are like the fucking Holy Mountain band. Like,
it's the best.
There's no other band that, yeah, there's no other band that perfectly represents what I've been fucking trying to do. You guys are like the flagship band here. You're the one that, like, I feel like is out there being exactly what I built this place, you know, to be. You guys are, take crazy risks and do whatever the fuck you want. I'm just like, every time I see what you guys are doing, I'm like, in awe of you and fucking proud of you guys.
Well, I'm proud of our friendship. I feel the same about all the shit you do. You know what I mean? It's super mutual. That's like
don't take it too much to heart though, because he says that same thing to me though. It's strange. I'm sitting here listening to this. I'm kidding.
You get to work with a bunch of people you like respect. I don't know. We feel the same way, and like, I don't know, friends like you that respect us and give a fuck about what we're doing is like armor for us in the face of any, you know, detractors or any doubt we have. I'm just like, man, these guys fuck with us. That's really cool. I don't know. Makes a big difference for me.
Dude, it's been amazing. Like, and there's, you know, it's not short time, but in the grand scheme of things, the time we've been working together is short, and the growth you guys have made is, I'm constantly impressed by each step you guys take. And it's another thing I've told you time and time again, but I mean, you, looking at bands historically, like, you guys are the Neurosis of your generation. You're gonna, like, I just see how you guys take those steps to keep yourselves interesting and daring and fucking, and like growing as a band and just becoming better and better.
I mean, I hope it keeps going. I try not to think about it. It doesn't feel any different than it felt for the past like 11 years. And I feel like it's super fickle, you know, like art and music and all that stuff. So I don't look at it in the face. That's where I get the neurosis.
Fucking, because it's like through all the changes in the music industry, Neurosis never really was anything other than Neurosis. Like, and it never wavered, and they had a rabid fan base, which I see with you guys. You guys have fans that fucking, you know, like, are rabid for whatever you do. And I think it's because, again, like, it's like Neurosis. You don't sacrifice or water down. You guys do exactly what you want. And it's,
yeah. And the similarity too, between like the imagery and the music, it was like, that was the Neurosis thing too, as well. Right. It was like, it was equal parts important for them. You know, it wasn't like a bit like the artwork was secondary to a lot of bands. You know, it's like all that stuff goes hand in hand with you guys and with Neurosis.
Yeah. I mean, there's a Yob song, "What Would Neurosis Do?" That's the
yeah, exactly. It's a good shirt
moniker
yeah.
that we had used.
yeah,
yeah. Them and Converge. I mean, I remember. I mean, from the moment I joined Full of Hell, I was just like, "How does Converge do what they do? Like, how do they operate?" I didn't even know them as human beings. Then, as people, they're like, you know, I think even like 100 times better than any of their art, which is fantastic. They're just like very humble, and they're just there to do their thing and, you know, share the space. I don't know. They're not dickheads. It's really cool. Those guys, having people like that to look to, and I count the body in that too, you know, they're older than us. So I look up to those guys too. And it's humility and they're appreciative of what they have. And I don't know. They know it's just a fucking band too. Like, you love it and you pour yourself into it, but it doesn't like make you any better than anybody else. And it's not going to like, it doesn't change anything about, I don't know, about your social standing or about who you are. It's just like, it's your thing. I don't know.
No, I agree with you. Converge is another one. I mean, Converge has been huge for me since word go. And Jacob Bannon, it's his art, his entire career and Death Wish, like all of that, you know, like hand in hand with each other is inspiring as fuck. Like, and definitely, I know, you know, Justin and I talked about it when talking about why, you know, like things that inspired us to do what we do, you know, like Death Wish was a big inspiration for, you know, Closed Casket. Death Wish and Converge and Jake as a whole was, you know, like why I take the art end of Holy Mountain so seriously. It's not just a bullshit place to buy band shirts. There's,
yeah,
you know, there's tons of, you know, stores that end in merch on the internet that you can go buy a standard bullshit band shirt. Like, it's why I take it seriously. And I'm like, let's make the coolest, best shit we can make for you.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's probably something people gravitate towards, that kind of honesty. And I've said it before, but Holy Mountain definitely feels like your taste. You know what I mean? It feels like you care about it, you know, as opposed to just being like you said, like basically a tiny Amazon warehouse. That's just like, we sell merchandise for music artists. You know what I mean? You guys,
right.
I don't know. It just feels like a thing.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is I wouldn't even know how to handle just working for a band that I don't. The reason I can work for you guys or Earth Crisis, like, or Zao, is because I love those bands. And so it's easy for me to tap into like what we should do, or to have ideas, or to be creative about it, because I do love their bands. Like, I mean, I consider Earth Crisis life-changing band. And so it's like, or Integrity, this is another one. Like, so getting to go in and play in those, you know, play with those histories of art and the things they've done is A, super fucking fun. But it's like, because I love it, it's easy to be creative in that area. Whereas if I was just, oh, everybody loves this band right now, run a store for them, it's like, what the fuck do you do with that? Like,
yeah.
I mean, you do bare bones. You do whatever, you know, okay, give me their album cover and I'll smash it on the front of the shirt.
Yeah, you go the way of like a Victory Records did, where you're putting out stuff clearly just for the money, right? It's just, he had no heart or anything in those releases after a while. He would admit it. So, you know, a lot of labels end up going that way. So I think it's important, yeah, to stay working with artists that you admire, you know, and feel like passionate about working with.
I'm very wary about working with anyone anymore that, like, I just, not everybody, we can't just work with just people that like truly believe in what we're doing. But I feel like we're such a hard sell. Like, I feel like it's kind of insane, the stuff that we get to do with the kind of music that we're playing. So I've always kind of felt like it's a hard sell, and I really don't see like a point in working with someone that just kind of has like a throw it at the wall approach. Like, this is a band that has fans. Let's just throw it against the wall and see what sticks. Like, I feel like it just doesn't work. I can't really picture our band being on a bigger label or anything like that. If anything, it should be like lateral or smaller. Because I think it just needs a personal touch. And I have this like weird idea in my head that a lot of bands, when they sign up to those bigger labels and they get that kind of, I think, more like corporate anonymous approach, I think they just like, there's like a trend of them petering out and kind of like fizzling. Like, I can just see the hype kind of die. And I think that's because people like, they like to feel like art is theirs. I mean, I feel that way. It's like a feeling I fight against, because I don't want to not consume something just because it's super loved and popular and everybody's just all about it. But I really feel like if it's approached in the wrong way, people don't have that personal connection to it. It's not yours anymore. And I think you should try to lean away from it. But also, I mean, like, if it's not easily digestible art, I just don't think it makes sense at all to have it be corporate. You know, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kind of kills it.
I think it's tough too, because if you're a band and you reach that place, right, you've kind of reached the mountaintop. So like, if you hit that big label that you were always aspiring to get to or whatever, like, where do you go from there if it doesn't work? Right. So it takes the wind out of your sails in that regard too, if you've made it there.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you have to go back, climb back down the mountain. That feels a little, you know, it stings a little bit, I suppose. And yeah, it's kind of best to stay in your house, you know, as opposed to just constantly trying to elevate. Cause then once you get there, like, okay, we've reached the mountaintop. It's only downhill from here. You know?
Yeah. I feel like that's just not what it's about. And I feel like it can't be about that because you are going to fail. So like, why would you put this thing? It's like a piece of your soul. Why would you bear it for some superficial success? Like the only real success would be to like exclude that element of it as hard as you possibly can. Like you have to think about it. It's the same thing with money. It's like, I always say, like, you have to think about it. It's good to be clever and know how to run a business, but you should be like leaning away from it as hard as fucking possible in every aspect of it. And just like try to not let it get spoiled. Cause I mean, you're going to fail. Your band was going to break up. Your band is going to have a shitty show. Your band is going to have a record that tanks. Like something's going to happen like that. So if like your whole aspiration is to like be popular or like sell X, it's just, I think it's just like foolish. Go sell fucking Dogecoin or something. Go sell crypto.
And it'll be transparent too.
Yeah. Dude.
Yeah. Your fans will see that you're trying is the word, right? You're going for it. And so people will see through that, you know?
Yeah, just focus on what you're making with your friends and focus on, I don't know, there's just, you know what I'm talking about, just the right things to focus on.
Yeah, and is that like, I mean, obviously you guys have been at it for a while, and is that like, do you find that more challenging now to like the creativity? Like, do you feel like that well is still full, or is it more challenging now to come up with ideas for music or for art or things like that?
You know what the funny part is? And I don't know if it's because my spirit had been broken so many times over the years with like, I'm sure you know this feeling, but like bad tours, bad record deals, fights in the band, or like whatever, you're getting older, shit's going on in your life. Like you get burnout touring, you know, whatever, just the normal band shit. I really feel like we've had our noses like grinded down so often that like, I got to a point where I felt like, do I still care about this as much? And COVID was a nice, like, well, not nice, but like a forced like hiccup in the constant like touring and record. Well, not recording, but the constant touring cycle. And I really feel like it kind of reinvigorated me. And honestly, nowadays, and becoming a dad, oddly enough, has like really juiced my brain too. I feel like more inspired than I ever did when I was younger. And I feel like part of it also is like, I feel like I've kind of seen the shit I dreamed of seeing with this band, and it just like wasn't as cool as I thought it would be. Like, you know, record label wise or like supporting X band wise, like sometimes it's cool and sometimes it fucking sucks. And it's a way smaller pool than you ever could imagine. So I think I'm kind of like over all of that shit. And now I just like, I don't know, it's not bottomless, but I'm doing a whole bunch of bands now, and like it's a blast. Like I'm having a lot of fun. Feels good. I do not feel like I have a shortage of ideas, and Spencer doesn't either. None of the guys in my bands, they in Full of Hell, I think everybody's like just starting to hit a stride maybe with their other bands as well. I just feel excited. I want to play it safe from an organizational standpoint. I want to keep everybody feeling this way and just like do cool stuff with our friends. Cause it feels good. I feel really juiced right now.
I think you're right. Yeah. The COVID thing. I mean, I think that was a nice little reset for everybody in a lot of ways. I mean, not even just in our world, right?
Yeah.
Like just the world in general, it was a nice reset, a nice like, oh yeah, I appreciate this. I mean, you can see it even with like people that come to shows. I mean, people that come to shows are more appreciative because they didn't have it for those few years.
It's a violent catalyst.
Yeah. Everybody all the way around. And Yeah, I know what you mean, though. It's like as you get older and you're able to, I mean, for me personally, like it's easier to get to the vision. Like I kind of know, you know, before, and I can't speak for you, but when I was younger, it's like you had an idea of what you wanted to accomplish, but you didn't really have the tools or the knowledge to get there. So you missed the mark a lot of times. Yeah. And now when you're older, I think I got the roadmap. I know what I want to do and I know how to get there. So there is like an inspiration there where you're like, oh, I can sit down and actually accomplish what I want to accomplish now as opposed to throwing darts at a dartboard.
Yeah, totally. Do you feel like you know better now, like what kind of band you're playing in? Like I had this moment where I was just like, I was realizing that I was trying to, not like in a super bad way or anything, but just like on a personal level, trying to make Fool of Hell like a lot of different things at once. It, not in the way that we are, but like in a way where maybe I wasn't recognizing what kind of band we were in. And it just got easier for me as I got older. I just feel like, I don't know. I like know what the band is and the band isn't me. It's like none of us. And it's like its own thing. I don't know. Do you know what I'm trying to say? There's like a compass or something. Yeah. It's like I have a more tasteful idea of what our band is. I don't know. It feels like maybe it's getting a little easier.
Yeah, I understand. And I think the tragedy though, and I can't speak for you that on my end, people tend to like that phase though, when you're throwing darts at a dartboard.
Oh, for sure.
Like there's something about that early kind of, I guess for lack of a better term, like amateur time when you didn't really know what you were doing. And then you get to a point where you're like, now I know what I'm doing. And everyone's like, no, we liked you better when you didn't know what you were doing. I mean, and it's frustrating, you know?
To listen to a band that's like flying off the tracks. All my favorite metal records are like raw, like sloppy. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, that's like pure energy. It's exciting watching someone eat, like, especially, I guess a lot of times young people, it's exciting watching them just like kind of just go for it and just, you know,
totally.
Yeah. I don't know. You can feel it. It's palpable. It's exciting.
I understand it from two standpoints. Like it's frustrating for me because I'm like, no. Now I do what I want to do and I pull it off. But I also understand like exactly what you're saying as a fan of music, yeah, I'm the same. Like, obviously, I like early Metallica, right? Because they were raw. They were going for it. They had this like hunger and this drive that they clearly don't have now. You know, they're just one of the examples. Every band kind of has that. So I'm, you know, it's hypocritical because yeah, I want people to give me, but I don't really give it out as a fan.
Yeah. You know what helped us a lot though? I think it was like really good for us, and it wasn't intentional. It just kind of fell into our laps. We got asked to like do record playthroughs for this festival in Holland a few years ago. And it made us like learn how to play a lot of old songs. And unlike most bands, my bandmates really tend to really like playing the old stuff. And I think it gives them a really healthy perspective on like the kind of shit that we were into or that we were trying to do when we were 20 versus, you know, 30. And I think with a lot of bands, and I credit these bands for exploring, but a lot of bands get like maybe less angry or maybe they're like, we can actually, you know, sing with melody or like play a melody on guitar or, you know what I mean? They can put more intention into their music, but it does make it more like tepid or something. But I think with us, they're just like learning to play their instruments better as the years go on. And instead of it getting like more polished, I think that like their tastes are elsewhere. So I think it's getting like more fucked up. So I think there's like maybe an advantage there. Time will tell, but as opposed to it getting softer.
Yeah, the beauty is now it's more calculated probably. You know, it's like instead of just like, again, like throwing darts at a dartboard, it's easy to sit down and be like, you know, here's where we want to go with this. Like, even if it is just chaos, it's like there's an organized chaos to what you guys do.
Definitely.
You know, so you know, it's that's kind of I'm sure you guys deal with that as well. It's like the lack of respect for the amount of time it puts in to make things sound like they're going off the rails, right? It's like you want to feel like you're holding on by the edge of your seat, but the truth of it is it's all very calculated.
Definitely.
You know,
the weirdest thing though is the people that we've met, a lot of them who we're like huge fans of maybe, but like the people that we've met where I find out it feels so calculated and they're so effortlessly like tight, but they are like out of their fucking minds or like just on drugs. You know what I mean? They're just, just out of their fucking minds and they're not about it at all. They're just like blessed with this fucking crazy electric talent that just like is inexplicable. So those people exist. For a person like me though, I gotta think about it. I've gotten better at like improvisation and shit, but man, I'm not on that level of psychotic.
I mean, I'm sure that applies to a lot of things. I mean, Danny, I'm sure you look back at your early printing stuff and you're like, you know, what was I doing? You know, but there's probably people out there that are like, man, that's the best shit Danny ever did.
So to be completely honest, there was a period where I'm using the worst shit equipment. I mean, like just garbage. And I'm just trying, I'm using it as best I can to make the best thing I can make. But I'm limited because this is crap. I mean, I literally had a press. We used to jokingly call it the 3.5 because the four arms didn't really work. So we were always like, oh, it's a 3.5 color. Like, they were held together by bungee cords. Like you would pull one arm down and it would jack the other one up. Dude. Like all the pallets were off, warped, burned, fucked. And I had people all the time, you guys are the greatest print shop. And I'm like, no, we're not even a good print shop.
I feel that so hard.
The best Holy Mountain shirts were the ones that the ink came off when I washed it. You know, those are my favorite ones.
It really is exactly that though. Yeah. It was like, it was a period of time where I remember I'm striving to get the money to get better equipment to raise this, to make it what it was. And people are telling me that, and I'm like, you have no idea. This place is borderline a joke. Like,
yeah. So even you're not immune to the demo. No, was the best thing you ever did.
The demo was the best thing you ever did.
Yeah.
Danny can attest to this, but me and Lee from The Body, he's been printing way longer than I have. So I don't know what's up with that, but we have done some straight up barbaric stuff as far as printing goes. Like seriously, fucking animal style. Like Danny, you know, man, some of the shit. I didn't even use registration marks for like years. And that's like the nicest of the shitty things that I was doing.
Dude,
it's so crazy.
For a super long time in the washout station, I did not use gloves or a ventilator. I just was and Loudon can attest to this because he was there helping me. So in the shop in this little town in North Carolina, the washout station room was literally in a bathroom. We put like, it was only big enough for the washout sink and the toilet. And you would go in there and literally be boxed into this tiny room, just like breathing that crazy fucking cancer causing chemical with, and I wouldn't even bother. Justin was like, yo, why don't you get gloves? And no time. I gotta go. Like, so yeah. And I mean, I remember I would get done at the end of the day and my, you know, like, from like just above my wrists down would be beet red and like itchy and you know, like, but I couldn't be bothered. Like I knew common sense says, hey, go take, but I was, you know, I don't know. It was my version of flying by the seat of your pants. I just ran in there every day and made everything I could make. And who has time to go get gloves? I don't have time for that shit.
Ventilation? Like fuck ventilation. Dude, I had.
Right.
All I had
fuck ventilation. I'm making t-shirts.
I had a flash dryer and I had it like bolted to a piece of wood basically. And my whole shop would just be like full of smoke. And Emily would come out and be like, dude, what are you doing, man? You just breathing death. Whatever.
Same here. For a long time, we didn't have any of the dryers vented. And this is very early. This is well before any of the version of the shop that existed, you know, or exists now. Like, when it was Justin and I, there was zero ventilation. So as soon as you got running, the whole room filled with smoke and we were using spray, you know, like aerosol can spray. So we were just in there like breathing smoke and glue. So when I expire early and they open me up and my lungs are filled with fucking paint. You know, Gildan 5000.
No, it's just gonna be different color shit.
Yeah, it's just gonna be like lint from t-shirts, glue and paint.
Dude, some of those shirt brands,
we'll use it, we'll make art out of it.
Some of the shirt brands put off so much lint. Comfort Color shirts, I pick a shirt up and I can see like a cloud of lint just floating and it's like I can blow it off my dryer after like an hour. It's crazy. It's a lot of particles.
So are you printing like full of hell, like tour merch?
Over COVID, I printed like almost everything I could for us. I won't print our tour merch. I have like a movie bootleg store that I do. Just print like whatever I want, like Lord of the Rings stuff, you know.
I was going to say, but just because like, you know, I mean, a lot of people don't realize like logistically when you're starting a tour, all the crap that has to be, you know, put together. And I can imagine adding, oh, I need to print, you know, 500 shirts on top of it would be a bit much.
Having a guy in your band that can print t-shirts is like the fucking key. I mean, I always say that the printing press is the ultimate freedom, you know? It's like the means of production that you can control. It's like the most awesome DIY thing you could possibly start doing. I'm not currently printing Full of Hell tour stuff. I was just thinking about printing some stuff for this June tour we're doing just to save some money, but I probably won't end up doing that. I don't have nearly as much free time as I used to.
I mean, do you find that though, like, you know how like just band dynamic in general, I mean, there's always somebody that's doing 90% of the work and there's always those people that are just kind of hanging out, right? So it's like, you know, on top of it, I mean, you don't feel like if you were printing all the merch and then on top of what, do you feel like it's a pretty even split amongst the band as far as like duties go, or, and that doesn't bother people that like, oh, I have to, I'm also printing merch and I also rented the van and I also, you know, did all the other stuff on
this
top of it.
Sounds incredibly personal.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it's very personal. It is. I'm just saying, if I had to print merch on top of anything else I did, oh, I'd be furious.
Well, here's the thing. I think every band's going to have one or two guys that's like the leader. They want to be the leader. They have they have a vision. They have a fucking need to control. It's me and Spencer in our band. So it's equally unfair, I think, at this point. And I've had differing opinions over the years, but now my permanent opinion is that it's equally unfair to expect the other guys in your band that are allowing you to have that control. Like maybe they don't even want to do it. That's highly possible too. But like if you want that control, you can't turn around and like hate the other guys for not having control. And
yeah,
as far as the merch goes, I mean, like, I volunteered that and I got paid a little bit for it, much less than we would pay a print shop. But like, it's also, I mean, this is my baby. This is my thing. Everybody in my band feels like it's their thing. So they will suffer for it. And we are all expected to suffer for it. And I don't know, it's given us everything. So I feel very strongly that like, I'm tithing. You know what I mean? It's my responsibility. So I've definitely had moments where like I finish something huge and they'll be like, okay, so when are you going to pay us? And I'm just like, you know what? Fuck you guys. I just spent 4 days boxing cassette tapes for you guys.
Yeah, it's inevitable when you're doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when we started putting out our own records. That mail order is crazy. Me and Sam did a live LP in my garage. And it was just like 14-hour days of packing records and like just listening to Deep Forest, like techno, loud as fuck, just zoned out. And it never ends. It just feels hellish, but I don't know. It's part of the experience. I think it's good for you.
I think appreciation is everything, right? It's like if you're doing a lot of work and somebody says thank you for it, sometimes that's all you need, as long as it's just somebody to acknowledge like, hey man, you put in a lot of work. This was great, which, I get that in my situations, you know, I do a lot, but there is appreciation there. Now there hasn't always been, I'm certainly not a dream to be in a band with by any means either. So I'm not just throwing everybody under the bus, but I'm just saying like, It just struck me like, wow, if you're printing tour merch on top of like all your other duties and all this other stuff, like I just thought of like, wow, all the stuff that I have to do to get shows together and get things for shows, if I had a stack of shirts I had to print on top of it, I mean, I think that would be the thing that threw me over the edge.
I mean, I didn't even mean to sound extreme either. Like you are 100% owed appreciation for that. And I feel that way about myself too. I would give appreciation to those guys. And I do if they do something like that.
Sure.
But you know, so there's, I mean, dude, the social dynamic in a band is like ridiculous. Band, I mean, your band too. We've been with these people for a long ass time. You way longer than me. We're like 12 for 13 years or something. And like, we're pretty comfortable with each other. Like, I don't know. I feel like we have a pretty healthy dynamic. Every band's got its bullshit or whatever, but you know, I feel like they're my brothers, and we're pretty comfortable. We're pretty comfortable around each other. I feel pretty appreciated. And I love, like, I really, really like designing our merch, and I really like talking to promoters. Like, I like to know the promoters, and I like to know what's going on. Like, I'm the point person with our booking agent, and I want to know who's booking us in what city and who we're going to play with. And we all pick the lineups, like, very carefully as a group, and, like, we're pretty democratic. But there are things that are, like, extra that I do and that Spencer does that are, like, we want to do that. Like, yeah, well, maybe we're going to complain because we're fucking complainers, but we want that. And I do feel like this is a privilege. I feel like
you're right. I mean, what you said was right, though, that you can't expect other people to do things, especially when you're like, do I even want them to do it if they offer? Right. You know, it's one of those things you're like, I kind of want to do it because I feel like I do it well. So yeah, it's a tough thing, but you're right. I mean, you've been with these people for so long. Band dynamics are always, everything's being held together by you know, duct tape. 100%. You know, it's like, it's everything could fall apart at any moment, you know, and it, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, you've been through, you know, it's like the only thing that you can, and it's not really the same, but the only thing I can ever equate it to is like, you went to war with someone.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, it's like, you're beyond brothers, you know, I mean, you've been through hell and back with
and
people.
So that's when you value, at least that's when I truly value the bad experiences too, because I feel like it's humbled us in a way where, like, you know, we've seen failure and like disaster and we don't think highly of ourselves, like we're like invincible or like nothing can go wrong. And when you get through it and you make it work, I mean, like, I feel like it's way easier to have a really easy ride as a band nowadays. I'm not saying everybody's got an easy ride now that starts a band, you know, in the late 2000s or late 20, you know, whatever, in the last like 10 years or whatever, but I do feel like it's definitely getting easier. And I'm assuming there are probably challenges in other ways now, but I think like the further back you go, the stories are crazier. Like talking to Converge or like Immolation, for example, about touring Europe pre-EU or something like that, or even just touring before a GPS or an iPhone. Because when we started touring, we had a GPS, but it was like, you know, it was like one of the first Garmins or whatever. But even then, like we had a GPS. Like I used roadmaps in my car, but we had a GPS in the band thing, and we had email and there was Facebook. But like booking tours with phones, is fucking insane to me. Like I can't even imagine it. So I really do think the challenges were like way greater the further back you go.
Yeah. Well, even just tours now, right? I mean, a tour is, you know, six shows, you know, it's like when we were first starting, I mean, a tour, you had to do 30 plus dates. I mean, they were most of the time 6 weeks. So it's like now a tour, you know, it's just easier in that regard. You don't, the expectation isn't as much, I think, from labels or bands or any, you know, just in general, you don't have to do 6 week tours. You can be a band and do 6 weeks for the whole year
or less,
you know, nowadays. Shows a year. Yeah. Or less.
It's logistically diverse. Yeah, for sure. I think you can.
But yeah, I mean, it definitely gets into like old man talk where it's like, well, back in my day, you know, kind of stuff, but it's true. I mean, even us, when we went to Europe the very first time, we would hear stories about Agnostic Front when they went to Europe. And it was insane. I mean, it was insane. They were like paving the way. I mean, just the stories are just insane.
Yeah, man.
And we had crazy stuff that happened when we went to Europe. And then, but you're right. I think now it's a little bit more.
Which generation makes it a step easier?
It makes it a little bit easier. Absolutely.
I'm sure you guys have both read the Rollins journals, Get in the Van. Like their European experiences sounded so fucked up. like in an era where all punk audiences were like probably 50% RAC, like Nazi fucks, just like throwing bottles at them. And it's like the dead of winter and they're sleeping in a fucking boxcar. And it's like, I don't know. It just sounds, the further back you go, it just seems to get gnarlier.
You immediately think like, I would be out of there. Like I would never, you know, the first night they're like, yeah, you're sleeping in the boxcar. I'd be like, no, I'm not.
Now it's Candyland.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah.
The thing is though, that knowing both of you, I don't believe that's the case. Like, well, I know both of you and both of you would. And it goes back to what you were saying about it being your baby. both you guys like killed for what you did. Like
Boxcar would be a non-starter.
But back then,
we basically did shit like that.
Yeah, I can't do it again.
Both of you were.
Yeah.
We still sleep in the van. Someone sleeps in the van every night. But yeah, dude, I don't know. I don't know if I could do it all again the way I did it then. Because we literally, nobody was asking us to be a band. So it was just like, I'm going to do this. And I don't give a fuck if I sleep in our van every single night, which we did for years, which is fine. I look back on it nostalgically, but I don't want to sleep in a Walmart parking lot every night for a month. And I don't even want to go on tour for a month. I want to go on tour for 3 weeks max.
Yeah. Well, I want to go for 3 days.
Right. 3 days. A long weekend, right?
3 days is perfect. Yeah, just enough to hate it. And then you go home.
I want to go back to what you said about, you know, wanting to do these things because it's your baby. And the thing is, like, that's why. So I don't know. There's like a bunch of things that swirl together in there. But like the reason these bands that go on to get on the bigger label, I feel like as bands get bigger, they give away those responsibilities because now it's, you know, oh, well, now we got a guy who does that and we got a guy who does that and we got a guy who does that. And it becomes less personal. And I think that that is why those bigger bands, it's not just that they get on the bigger label, because we've all seen a band get on a bigger label and get even better. I think it's as bands start giving these responsibilities out to other people, it's not their baby. It's like the 50 people that work for them.
It's situation.
And the fact that you guys still do these things because you give a fuck, like that's something you can't fake. Like people see it. It's why you guys are special. It's why Earth Crisis is special, or Zao is special, or Integrity is special. Because you can't fake that give a shit about what I'm doing so much I'll do it my fucking self when, you know, every, you know, whatever other band, you know, gets to that same point and starts handing these jobs off to other people. But it's why their art suffers.
How exciting is it as a fan on both sides, as a fan for me to see someone that's still intimately involved in the art that they're making, you know, X years on or whatever. And then from the band side, I do take a tremendous amount of pride in like the way we carry our band. Like I'm super proud of it. I'm proud to be friends with all the people that we're friends with. Like our friend circle is, they all act like that, you know? I'm super fucking proud of that. I recognize new friends like pretty immediately if they're like, you know, on that wavelength too. I don't know. It's a badge of honor, I think. And I think it's like crazy that you wouldn't want to have your hands in it. And I do think it's inevitable though that you're going to give away some of it. I mean, Justin's been managing us for like, I don't know how many, 6 years now. And like, that's like such a unique situation. Cause I mean, like we still are so involved in like every element of it. He just like helps us facilitate it. And he's just like, he's the perfect guy for our kind of situation. You know, he's not like going to have a chip on his shoulder. You know, it's like we're like toe to toe. We're kind of like on the same wavelength. We're all like working towards the same goal, as opposed to just like we're completely checked out. We don't even know where our merch order is. You know what I mean? Like that kind of band that just has literally no idea what's going on.
No, I think you guys straddle the perfect line because you know you do release records through, you know, like you did your time with Relapse, and you worked with a bigger label while also self-releasing your own music at the same time, or doing a noise record that, you know, maybe I don't know. I can't speak for Relapse. Maybe they would have taken, but like you guys do your own things that you actually do completely by yourself and release by yourself. And that shows like serious give a fuck.
That's the band I want to see.
And again, that just, right, that's the band I want to see. It's why I love you guys. It's why I love seeing bands that are, you know, like paving their own path and doing their own work. And I am absolutely bored with the band that, you know, eventually hits that point where they don't give a shit and they put out the forgettable record and they've got the team of people that handles everything for them. I mean, you know, the passion being gone translates into the sound. Like, I don't know. There's definitely a connection between people that work hard for their art and what that ends up sounding like.
Especially underground music. Like, why get a team of people? Like, it's a joke. It's a small little world. Like, the whole point of it is like community and like that it's personal and it's extreme and it's, I don't know, it's supposed to be from the heart. So I just like,
I think it's a combination. I mean, it's, sense. I'm sure it's a combination of ego and in some level human laziness. You know what I mean? Definitely. Like, yeah. I don't want to do that anymore. Let's get this guy to do, we'll pay him X percent or to take care of
having those
us.
People yeah. right out the gate. Like, you don't even know how to book a tour. You don't know how to order merch. And then you just have all those people on your band and you just like continue along, you know, clueless, having these people kind of just like carry your entire band, and you never really learn the fundamentals. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, we started to go down those roads, and it was mainly when it gets to that bad point of you have to do the band. You're not doing it because you want to do it so much. At a certain point, it's become a career, and it's so, and that's when things dramatically went south, and we kind of ended the first time, is because it did. It got to this weird point where we had to sign to a certain label because we wanted to be, you know, you just get these fantasy ideas in your head that like, oh, we got to do this next. And in order to do that, this label says we have to get a manager. And then in order to get this manager, we have to work with this merch company.
It's scary.
And at some point, yeah. And at some point it's like, it's exactly what you said. You're smart for having the foresight to know, don't ever go down those roads, because all those people, all they wanted was to jump on your hard work and take 10%.
Right. They show up after the hard work's done.
They never got us one step above where we were at all. We did all the hard work ourselves, like you said, booking our own tours, doing our own merch designs, working with our friends who ran small merch companies, et cetera, et cetera. And then they jump in at the tail end and go,
look what we did.
Oh, you guys did such a great job. Can we get 10% of that? You know?
Yeah. I've seen my share of shitty ass managers even nowadays. I'm like perpetually afraid of being trapped though. And it's not until recently that I realized that I'm never truly trapped. It's just a scary feeling to think like, because I always think about like, I don't know why this example jumps into my mind, but with the Grateful Dead, they had such a huge staff. I'm not a huge Dead fan. My parents are huge Deadheads. Sam's obsessed, but like, but they had a huge group of all of their friends working for them, and they toured all the time, and all of these people relied on them for income, you know? And so it was like, well, if we stop, all these people are out of work. So it's just like the train literally has to keep rolling as you're just withering away and getting more and more burned out. And then it's just irreversible. That's so scary.
Yeah. 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 Because you do. Yeah. You get responsibility. You know, it's like all of a sudden you're responsible for this guy's kids eating. So it's like,
fucked up.
Yeah, it becomes a mess. You know, it becomes a mess. And like, but yeah, I mean, luckily, you know, you can at some point, if, you know, if you play your cards right, you can kind of reset and restart. And like, I'm in a position where we're working with like the coolest team of people that we've ever worked with like Danny and everybody that we work with. And we put our own records out and, you know, kind of doing things more in the way that you guys were smart enough to stay, you know, like stay doing these things. Like, you know, we went down those bad roads and yeah, we can attest like, yeah, that wasn't a good choice, but you get stuck. You think you have to, you know, you think, oh, if we want to grow, we want to grow. It's gotta always be bigger. It's that the American dream, right? Oh, bigger. If this year wasn't bigger than last year, then it's a failure, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I have those thoughts in my head. Like I'm very, very ambitious. So like the whole thing for me is to like fight that all the time. So that's why I preach that shit.
Yeah.
And again, with Converge and Neurosis, they're the genuine article. Those guys, you know, kept making their art and it stayed amazing and they did their thing on their terms. And I think one of the reasons that they haven't burned out, you know, for whatever reason, I think a big one is that they didn't let the money dictate, you know, how they were going to do it. Like it wasn't like, we need to make X amount of money. It was like, what's cool? So I think it's so much more important to like keep the money in the back of your head. Sure, that's fine. But like, do what's cool. Do what like you believe in first and like that second. So that means like for me personally, because I like to feel safe and I need to provide for my wife and daughter. I have other work, you know, that like I just have other prospects around me at all times that like make me feel comfortable and allow me to love the band for the music, fully and not like be stressing too hard about like, you know, dividends. It's fucking soulless.
Yeah. That was why I asked the question about like the creativity and, you know, like, because you strike me as the type of person that you're not making a record unless you're inspired to make a record, right? It's not like I feel like I have to keep this machine rolling, to keep the merch selling, to keep the tours going.
Oh yeah, I can't imagine these guys. I mean, I put this much more so on my bandmates even. Like, I can't imagine them writing any music ever for that reason at all. Like, I can't imagine them letting a producer write a single riff for them or any of that shit. It's just like not even... It's not even like, nah, we don't want to do that. It's like, it's a different fucking language to us. Like, it doesn't even compute. I don't even think it would be a good idea if we were greedy and we only wanted to make money. I just think it would just be foolish on all counts. Sometimes the right thing to do for your art also aligns with like the cleverest thing an evil person would do. Like, if you really wanted to be conniving and successful, you'd keep it real. So I don't really understand with a lot of these bands why they would make the moves that they make, which are clearly money moves. It's like, if you're a real piece of shit and you want to just milk this, why don't you just keep it real and write what you love? Like, they're the same. It's the same road. You know what I mean?
Well, I think what's, and it has served, you know, everything I've done with Holy Mountain well, is I can't make a decision based on money. If I make a decision based on money, the decision's fucked. Exactly. Like, I have to do what I think is the coolest or, you know, the best thing that, you know, like, so, and sometimes that sucks. Sometimes you do the coolest thing ever and you eat, you know, a mile of shit financially because it didn't work, but you did what you thought was right. And I feel like 90% of the time doing what I think is right ends up being the, you know, like the right answer because people recognize it.
Well, yeah.
And like,
and you're going to disappear.
Like, and I'm sure that you've seen it.
You're going to.
Yeah. Like, if you make a decision based on money, it's not likely the good decision. So I try and put that completely out of my mind. Like, because people have told me things that I was going to do were like financially stupid. And yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. We're going to do it anyway.
Like, yeah. And they're not mutually exclusive, but also like, I mean, you're going to die. You're going to disappear one day. Like, does it really matter? Like, if like the financial ends, I mean, you have to eat. I'm not like taking that. It's easy for me to say that for sure. But like,
no,
I don't know. It's, I just can't imagine that it
holds. It's a weird game to think about money and not think about money.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you have to do
both. That's the whole thing. That's the whole dance.
It does get difficult. I mean, I think back to like the early days of me playing, and I think I've told Danny these stories 100 times, but and you may have a similar experience. I think a lot of us do that started off in like hardcore and punk and stuff. There's that moment though, when you realize there was a lot of money being generated around your band and you were getting none of it, right? Like you went and played a show and 700 people showed up and you were given $300 and a tank of gas, right? And then you're naive, you're young, and you know, and then you realize like some light bulb moment goes off where you do the math. You're like, wait a minute, everybody paid $10, you know, and you're driving away and you're like, okay, so we were taken advantage of, right? And it's really easy to go down the other side too steep where, well, we're not going to get taken advantage of anymore.
Yeah, it's a balance.
You know, and then. Yeah, and then, you know, then all of a sudden money becomes important, but it's not necessarily important for the reasons everyone thinks it is. It's just like, well, we just don't want to be taken advantage
of. Right, we want to be treated fairly.
Right. Yeah, we want to be treated fairly, but
now you're on the other side of it. Now you're, yeah.
Yeah, there's a big discussion about money now, but it's not for the reason everybody thinks. It's because like, well, look, we played a lot of years where X amount of people were showing up and we were getting handed $150, $200, and we were excited because we were 17. You know, and then we look back on it, we're like, that's weird. You know, well, how did that work?
Yeah.
You know, there was 700 people there and we paid 10, they all paid, well, at the time, $10 to get in. And we got $150. Weird.
Well, you know? What's right is right. I think I'm, as far as like my role in the band, I think like the logistics definitely tend to fall on my shoulders. And I take like DIY ethics like pretty seriously. We operate on kind of like some of the tours we do are like pretty pro style, you know, like this past one we were on, where we were supporting Acacia Strain and Fit for an Autopsy, like totally different world, big shows, whatever. There's like money at play. I resent the part of like the punk community that thinks like, you shouldn't ever fucking care about getting any money, blah, blah, blah. Like they feel like they don't have to do things right. Like there's a way you can do things where it's like very positive for your community. Nobody fucking loses. But like if 200, 300 Absolutely. People come to this show that costs $15 to get in and your venue costs like are $500 and this and that, it's like, I don't respect the dishonesty. I think like there's a way to do things where everybody gets taken care of.
And if everybody, it can be a win for everyone. Yeah, totally. Yeah. There's a way where the band's not taking advantage and not taking a kid to his ATM machine.
Yeah,
right?
Dude.
And all the other bands got treated fairly and everybody walks out happy at the end of the evening. I've seen it happen. I mean, you've seen it happen. We know that this can happen.
Well, and if a promoter eats shit, I'm in the minority here, but if a promoter eats shit, I have a huge problem with taking money out of their pocket because they booked us. And as long as they did their job, which I feel like generally I can tell, if this kid did his best or this person, like whatever, is it his fault that nobody gives a fuck about my band? I have a huge problem with like just taking that. Now, if it's a promotion company, I know how like there's ups and downs to it. So like I feel like it's a little different if it's like a company approach, but like
If it's like a Live Nation show or something.
If it's Live Nation, I don't give a fuck. I'll rob them blind any chance I possibly get. Yeah. I mean, there's like tons, I think there's cool people that work for Live Nation for sure, but Live Nation is like fucking cancer. Yeah. They're like, they're taking over. They just like, they own almost everything. Them and AEG own like everything. So shouldn't feel any problem. There's no problem with taking money out of that corporate pocket. But like, I don't know. I just feel like there's like etiquette on all ends of it as usual.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Well, and that's literally what I started Holy Mountain with was like, I was running a record label and there was constant conflict over money because I would spend money on things that I had receipts for that were absolutely for the benefit of the band and then being questioned as to why, you know, whatever. Hey, I'm sorry that nobody bought your fucking record. I spent this much money on it. That's that. And going into Holy Mountain was me closing that out because I was like, well, I don't want to fight with people making things I like over money, but I want to work in this world and I want to do this thing. How do I do it where like, you know, like, I get to make cool shit for cool people and then financially see them succeed and succeed myself. Like and it's absolutely doable to do that. Like I, you know, like make money for Earth Crisis. I make money off of Earth Crisis. I do the same for you. It's 100% doable. So like the whole foundation was like, how can we do this where money gets divvied up simply and transparently?
Yeah, transparency is
so
key
everybody
word.
Fucking wins.
Yeah, transparency is the key word. It's just letting everybody know up front, like, hey, this is what it costs. This is how much I sold. This is, you know, that's the key part. Because, you know, you look at it, you're like, well, look, I understand everyone has to make money here. You know, we can't keep the lights on if you don't. So it's like, yeah, and that's where things get crazy because, yeah, when, you know, going back to, yeah, when we were younger, yeah, we were playing for people. And that seems to be, if I'm going to criticize the world that we live in, and I don't know if it is so much anymore because I'm a little old and out of touch with it, but when we were younger, the model was take advantage of a young band who wants to create. I'm going to give them the opportunity to create, and they'll give me that creation for nothing because they just want to be creative and they just want to travel and they just want to tour and they just want to play shows. And promoters were taking advantage of that, and labels were taking advantage of that, and everybody was. You know, you would play, you know, again, it's like you'd play, and you look back now, and I look at these videos, and I'll say to the guys in the band, I'll be like, hey, look at this show. Like, there was 700 or 800 people there. I remember the dude filling us up with gas and being like, and we were pumped. We were like, this guy filled us up with gas, you know? And I'm like, there was 700 people packed in this place. But we were just so thirsty and just so happy to be able to get to the next town that we didn't care.
That's definitely still a thing.
I think luckily it's easier for bands to do that stuff. I mean, like, I don't know. Because of your history and what you guys did and bands around you, like, kids saw the model and on. And then we're able to do those, to kind of sidestep that and be like, oh, I can do these things myself. And and then we live in a world now where you know you can literally like record and release, you know, like,
yeah.
I mean, back then you needed to go to a studio.
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, we were looking the other day. Remember, yeah, we were looking through the budgets that we spent on recording, and they were like disgusting.
Right. I mean, now you can just, you know, record it in your fucking house and release it yourself.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, it rules.
So you had said something earlier that, and it touched on something that I wanted to bring up, but you had talked about, you know, like the DIY screen printing being like the fucking, you know, the be all end all. Dude, I used to have a discussion with one of my early employees when we would get blank screens in, and I would literally hold one up and be like, this could be anything. Like,
it's awesome.
Like, it's fucking awesome.
It's amazing.
That is very cool.
I think I lost touch of, you know, over the years and the grind of building this thing up and you and I talked about it. Like, I think the last 6 months of last year was me getting back in touch with, oh, I love screen printing. I actually love this shit. Like, because it got so big and I had to just get things done that I like forgot how much I love the whole fucking process. And that's one of the things I've loved about you being in my life is you reminded me how fun that shit is.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
And I think I did a post where I referred to, I was like, Isolation Man Print Shop, your favorite screen printer's favorite screen printer, which I lifted from the
West Side Gun Style.
It's on the back of the Scarface from the Ghetto Boys.
That's
autobiography. On the back, it says your favorite rapper's favorite rapper.
Yeah, okay.
And I was like, but that's exactly what it is. Like, you fucking reminded me, you know, I got to go, I think everything got so big, I got locked into what I was doing and you almost couldn't see that infinite potential anymore. And you reminded me, oh yeah, this is super fucking fun what we do. And the process is super fun and it is limitless. Like, it is as unbound as your fucking creative mind can be.
It's destiny. Yeah, dude.
So
it's amazing.
Yeah. I've loved watching your print shop and like all the cool fucking shirts you do and like seeing people bug out over them. Like, it's been really inspiring, man.
That's awesome. I mean, it goes two ways. Dude, printing, I feel like I'm going to like write a thesis someday on how printing is maybe like one of the few attainable ways for a working class person to like take control of their destiny. And I mean, like, look how important the printing press was to just like our species. You know what I mean? Like the proliferation of information. I don't know. It's just so cool. There's so many levels to it where I feel like it's like a sacred thing. And it's one of the main ways that you can control your art. I think it's pretty mystical. I fucking love printing. I think it's great. I'm so glad it came into my life, you know. My aunt and uncle are printmakers as well. They're the ones that kind of like sparked my interest in it. Them and Lee from The Body. But like, yeah, I mean, it's essential. I think it's just it's a very special thing. I'm glad it's in my life. Printing rocks.
I'm glad that while you were doing it, as silly as it is, just you texting me and asking me questions was probably the beginning of me being like tapping back into that brain. Cause I got so far removed from it. Like, cause I had people doing it and I'm really like cruising through and just making sure people are doing what they're supposed to be doing, which spoiler alert, they weren't, but that's neither here nor there. Like literally when you started asking me questions, I was like, that's the beginning of me tapping back into that. And then through just straight necessity, like getting back in touch with it for the second half of last year. And what I'm actually breaking out and getting back into and excited about is like kind of going back to the very beginning of all this. Like, my first stuff was like poster printing and I'm dusting that off and that's what I'm getting. Like, cause it's, you know, like I moved all the way up to, you know, like having, you know, two warehouses with three autos running, and it's real fast track to kind of like losing sight of the fucking, the whole thing when you get there. Like, right.
You want to run a factory?
Right. And that's what made me lose interest. And that's what I realized kind of towards the end of that was like, oh, I, this is now just like a factory where my shop manager, who is the reason all the shirts that left here looked so good and the reason that Holy Mountain has the reputation it has, is because he is a perfectionist. And but he was like, I overheard him explaining to one of our employees, he was like, this isn't art, you're replicating someone's art to a T. This is you know, duplication, this is work. And I remember being like, oh wow, that's not where I started.
Well, how funny, right? I mean, these things are tying into like what we've been talking about. All these things are intertwined with like when you start off with this pure idea and then it turns into this like machine that you have to,
right. Yeah, it is
that you have to do. It's like, you know, whether it be music or whether it be printing, right. Or, you know, at some point you look around and you're like, well, what happened here?
Like, well, and then it goes back to all of us and our ambition.
Like, and then it goes right back to where you are right now versus, you know, where musically I am and where Dylan is. It's like, we get back to this. No. This is why we did this.
Right.
Let's get back to this pure place where we're doing this for the honest reasons, the way that we want to do it ethically, you know, where we can reconcile it in our brains, where at some point you get kind of lost. Well, I think Dylan was a smart one who never got lost, right? That's what we're learning.
Right, yeah. You and I definitely got lost.
We get lost.
I filled a room with people that I was responsible
only
for
because of you guys. Honestly, like,
no, like you said, no, I think you just had the right idea and you had the nerve to stick with maybe, it. Honestly, maybe, you never got lost.
Maybe I was blessed with like average enough intelligence to like not like burn up and die somewhere yet. But honestly, I watch and I just like, I think all of us, like, you know, if you're smart, you're watching all of your peers and all of the people who came right before you and that are still doing it and seeing what works and doesn't work. And like, I don't know, that's progress. Like, I would hope that there will be lots of bands forming that would see like what Thou is doing or The Body or like, you know, any one of us and just be like, cool. So it's not cool to do it the lame way. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe they learn from something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Dude, I also want to touch on the Sightless Pit record, which is no doubt, like, that's probably my favorite fucking record. I was, like, of last year, that's my favorite
that's
fucking
awesome.
Record.
Awesome. Thank you.
I was dumbfounded at how fucking good it was. Like, I'm not trying to be dismissive. I expected to like it or enjoy it. I finished it and was like, what in the fuck did they just do? Like, and the guests and like, it's crazy. Like I don't even know how to describe it. I definitely like tell everyone that if you're going to listen to anything, if I can get you to listen to anything, that's the fucking record. Like, I listen to it every morning, driving my kid to school for weeks.
That's awesome.
Like, I'm sure he got sick
so
of it.
That rules.
But like, what, how did, you know, like, it's also a big step from the record you did before. I mean, it's
a different band.
Pretty much, it's a different band. It's not the same thing. Like, how did you guys, I mean, how the fuck did that happen?
So Sightless Pit was like just me and Lee in the beginning. And we didn't know what it was. I mean, with the limited skill set that the two of us have, helped like hugely by Seth Manchester, Machines with Magnets guy, I knew there would be beats from Lee that were probably pretty hard and simplistic and brutal and samples and noise and horrible screeching for me. And our friend Kristen Lingua Ignota was in the studio before us and just lent us some tracks because we were like, hey, you're there, we love you, like, do you want to put some stuff on the record? And she brought so much to it that we were like, you know, do you want to be part of the band? And when her tenure in the band ended after the record came out, it was kind of like, I didn't know if I wanted to make another one because it just felt weird. But Lee and I came back around to the idea, and I think it was like pretty obvious that we wanted to do something, some kind of like super experimental, over the top kind of dub record, you know, like some IDM type shit. And we love working with our friends. So, you know, it was kind of like our version of having a ton of guests. And each one of the songs, you know, they're kind of built like The Body songs, you know, starts from the drums up, and we sampled like the funniest stuff we could figure out. Like, I was sampling like bow shots from The Last of Us Part Two and just like Windows prompts and And I didn't think we would be able to get the guests we got. We kind of just, we were just like, let's just try to go as crazy as possible because who knows? And Lee was friends with the Trillbillies guys who were very good friends, with Gangsta Boo. And I had, you know, I told you the Fruquan story and I don't know, it just came together. There were a lot of people that we reached out to that didn't get back. We even paid Evil Pimp to do a verse and he just kept our money. But I don't know. It's just, it's hard to explain. Making records at Machines with Magnets is very different. Seth is like as much a part of those projects as a member of the band. You know what I mean? He had to like distill our idiot ideas. And it just took time. I don't know. The funny thing is like, you don't even know what the whole thing is going to sound like. And I have only listened to it like once or twice since it came out. Just because I just like didn't even remember because it took years to make. And it's kind of wild. I didn't know if it would make any sense. I didn't know if people would really gel with it. But I'm super proud of it anyway. Honestly, it's definitely all over the place.
It's fantastic. And it's awesome to see it like from record to record there. It's like, dude, you guys could do anything. Like, I kind of look at it like the Melvins, where like every Melvins record, you know, you might get a whole new lineup. You know, it could be you and Lee and anybody. It could be, I don't know. It's like we were just talking about screen printing. This is, I think what you made with that is something that is without any boundary. Like you guys could make a record, another record with one extra collaborator. Like you could make another record with everybody under the sun joining you. You could make one just you two. Like, I don't know. I just see like limitless potential for what you guys did with
it. Well,
that.
I think the coolest part about a project like that, and I would compare it a little bit to someone like The Bug. It's way more about the guests than it is about us. I mean, like we profiled people that we believe in and that we're really inspired by. Like my friend Lane sang on one of those tracks. She's like one of the craziest singers I've ever seen in my life. She sings in a band called Elizabeth Colorwheel and she does her own solo stuff. And it's just like, she was super psyched to be on the track and like grateful and like, thanks for having me. And it's just like, dude, she's so much more talented than us. And to even have her on the track, it's just like mesmerizing for me. So I think like a huge part of the project is going to be just like profiling our friends that we believe in, you know, like people that we're just like amazed by. I think that's like a cool way to be. The bug's like that. I feel like the MCs are almost more important than him. And it's funny, the magic I think of the project is the same kind of magic that makes The Body a good band. And it's because those guys are so kind of just like, they don't have expectations of themselves, I think. Like they know what kind of band they're in and they know probably what they're going to make, but like the expectation isn't there in the same way that it would be for a band like Full of Hell, where everything is so laid out down to the last nail. I think those guys are just along for the ride in a way that makes it unexpected and a really organic and feel really exciting. Cause I can kind of guess what The Body's going to do, but I think that's more so because I've just known them for so long, but they can do whatever they want too. It's just whatever they're feeling. And they care so much about like their friends and like the social connection when they collaborate with people. That's the exciting part about it. I mean, Sun, I compare Sun, not quite the same, but kind of the same, because the Sun records are great. But what makes a Sun record really fucking special is, you know, whoever's on the record. Like, is Attila singing on the record or the records with Boris? You know what I mean? Like those, they add those two, Stephen O'Malley and Greg, when they're, it's punishingly heavy. It's like the heaviest thing in the world. But when it's colored by some outside element, it's just like, it's amazing. And The Body's the same way. I think like a lot of like simplistic electronic music, like that's the spark that like makes it memorable. I think is like, you know, what are you going to color it with on top of that? And for us, it was all those guests, all our buds. I think we'll do another one.
The period of Sun with Attila is the greatest. I mean, all of that is the greatest shit ever so fucking sick. Made.
You've seen his live costumes, like the mirror mask.
Oh yeah.
Dude, so fucking sick.
Yeah, I definitely went through an obsessive period of like just listening to anything that Attila performed on. And I don't know if you ever listened to it, but did you listen to that band he did, Aborum?
No.
That was like, it's like techno black metal. It's, dude, I'll send you a link after.
I think there's a level where if stuff is at a certain point of quality, I think it's going to burst into flames, honestly. Because I don't think at that level of talent, and that's why I think it's really important to have different kinds of people in your band. Because I think at a certain level of talent, I don't think you can have like the organizational business mind. Like, I don't think it's like in your soul. And I'm of the clinical business side more so than the talented side. But like, I know like lots of people that are just like, they're from another universe. It's like, I love just being able to be around them and watch them play. Like, I consider Dave one of these people, our drummer, just like watching him make music. Like, he's just like, he's like another kind of being. And I don't even understand the wavelengths his brain operates on. But I don't know if organization is like his first best trait. You know what I mean? Like, he was born with like bottomless well of musical talent. The dude just writes music constantly and can play everything better than everybody else in all of his bands. You know what I'm trying to say? I feel like some of these bands, like, they're just, if they're that good, they're destined to burst into flames. Because they're just so unhinged.
But that goes back to what we said at the very beginning of this, of like youthful enthusiasm and all that stuff. Like, I look at Cataclysm's album Sorcery that way. It sounds like a band on the verge of falling apart. It's exciting to listen to. And after that record, I don't give one shit about what they ever did, because after that record, it sounds like a band who figured it out and is doing what they do. But that record, as you're listening to, you're like, these dudes are playing at the absolute apex of their abilities right now. And it's you're listening to something that sounds like it's teetering on falling over the side of the cliff.
Yeah, and that's what's exciting about it. That's what's exciting about grindcore. I mean, and punk in general is like, it's on the edge of collapse at all times.
Right.
Yeah.
A really good art comes out of that kind of fucking chaos and mess. And I don't know. It's why, like, you know, the first Wu-Tang record is a bulletproof classic.
Yeah, it's strange. That's like, I have a lot of admiration for bands that break up like real quick. Especially a hardcore band that's just like a chaotic hardcore band that's just like, one LP, fuck you, we're gone. It's kind of like Gulch did that. I thought it was really cool, actually. Because like,
they come in, they smash everything, yeah, I mean, like, give you the finger, I mean, and run out the door.
Because what do they have to say? Maybe it's like a weird alternate, I imagine, fantasize an alternate universe where like, I put out one like really great record and like, fuck it, I don't, you know, I just walk. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's not me. It's so alien to me that I admire it, you know, as opposed to my band where I just want to put out like 200 more records and then maybe I'll be okay with it. Like Masami doing 400 or 500 Merzbow records.
Right.
It's like the ultra prolific and the self-destructive.